In this talk, I want to talk about the law of three in the Gurdjieff work. To what ultimate principles, to what fundamental laws can the universe and all its manifestations and processes be reduced? This is asked by Maurice Nicol. In the work, there are two fundamental laws behind all things, the law of three and the law of seven. In this talk, I will be tackling the law of three. From the perspective of the work, we live in, firstly, a created universe, and secondly, an ordered universe. If all was chaos, there could be and would be no order, and thus there could be no laws. If all were chaos, the studies of the sciences and of any laws relating to matter would be impossible. The law of three is the law of the three forces of creation in the fourth way, a law which states that three forces must enter into every manifestation. But creation is also governed by another law, as I've already mentioned, the other fundamental law, the law of seven, or the law of order of manifestation. In this talk, I will only speak of the law of three. The next talk, I'll speak of the law of seven. And then I'll give a couple of talks on the Enneagram and how these are brought together within that. Every manifestation, as I've said, of the universe is the result of the combination of three forces. These forces are called active force, passive force, and neutralizing force. Or the active force is also called first force, passive force is also called second force, and neutralizing force is also called third force. The active force, the first force, can be defined as initiating. The second force, the passive, as a force of resistance. And the third force, the neutralizing, as a force of balancing, or relating, or connecting, or even of application. These forces are found in nature and in man. As above, so below. They are found throughout the universe, everywhere. They are at work, everywhere. They are creative forces. Nothing is produced without the conjunction of these three forces. Their conjunction constitutes a triad. And one triad creates another triad. A chain of events in time is truly a chain of these triads. Every manifestation, every creation, as I have said, results from the meeting of these three forces, active, passive, and neutralizing. Active force cannot create anything by itself, neither can passive, nor neutralizing. Nor can any two of these forces produce a manifestation. All three are needed. The three forces are only creative at the point of their conjunction. Only here does an event take place, and not otherwise. If they do not meet, nothing can happen. Nothing can take place. Active and passive can meet, but nothing will happen. It is only from the inclusion of all three that something can happen. And it is always from the neutralizing force, the third force, that a new triad springs. For the neutralizing force brings the active and passive into a relationship, connecting them together, bringing two sides into a relation. Active and passive are opposed to one another. They are opposites. Neutralizing is intermediary between them, a force of relation and connection, as I've said. Let's take a windmill as our example. The wind is active, the first force. The windmill itself is passive. The turning sails, however, are neutralizing. Without them, neither force is of use, and everything would fail. Each part is needed. However, this is only a rough example, and I would advise to think about this in terms of one's efforts and decisions made psychologically. However, the quality of the neutralizing force can alter much. For instance, in relation to the individual, if the neutralizing force is taken from life, then its personality, which is active, and essence, is passive. However, if the neutralizing force is taken from the work, then the forces are reversed. Personality becomes passive and essence is active. As with all in the work, these forces must be studied psychologically, as they exist within oneself by way of self-observation. For the active force is what one wants. Passive is that which resists or prevents what one wants. And this is as far as one needs to know to begin with. For the third force, the neutralizing force, cannot be seen until one can see the first and the second. That is, what it is one wants, and what it is which is stopping one from getting what one wants. The passive force of resistance exists within everything, against what we want. There is always, inevitably, a force of resistance. To realize this is to be able to dampen the constant blame one has against life, to understand that one's difficulties are not unique, that there is always a passive force, and one's active force can only do something with that passive force if the neutralizing force comes forth. Psychologically speaking, when we make an aim in the work, and thereby in life also, but above life because it's from the work, we must factor in this second force as a means to understand at what cost the aim will be kept. To keep one's aim in life, they must be aware of the continual force of resistance which seeks to derail that aim. Thereby, the nature of the second force is in part determined by the nature of the first force. One must be sincere in noticing what they really want. It will take time to observe the first, the second, and finally, much later, the third force with real sincerity, for it is a question of understanding what it is one truly wants, and what it is which truly stops them from obtaining it. If one desires to change, for instance, this desire should be regarded as an active force, and we are met by the resistance of the passive force, the second force. All those old habits and dislikes which attempt to stop our change, without the third, neutralizing force, these two forces merely counterbalance each other and nothing happens. If one wishes to change, that is the first force, the active force, and immediately our old habits, our old dislikes, our old disagreements, our buffers come in as the second force, the passive force, as that thing of resistance which allows us or disallows us to change, allows us to not change, allows us to self-pity, to self-justify, to stop that change. It is only with this third force, the neutralizing force, which is this relationship, this balancing, can something change at all. If not, the active and the passive merely enter into a stability. In the observation of these forces, one is not observing things. A desire is a force. A train of thought is a force. An idea is a force. But none of these are things. We commonly see in all events only a single force, whatever it may be. And we lack the ability to fragment our reality. We always hold it as a false unification. Think back to the talk on multiple eyes. It is always in our ability to fragment our reality that we'll be able to begin to make greater self-observations, more sincere self-observations, if we no longer consider ourselves and reality as this false unity. We always see a single force, not active, passive, or neutral. But in struggling with habits, suffering, ignorance, negative emotions, etc., one must attend to these triad of forces afforded to us by the law of three, applying this law of three onto their desires, onto their negative emotions, onto their suffering, onto their struggles, onto their effort, onto the work, into their self-observations. If you're sincerely interested in these ideas and want to study them further, please find information in the description below.